Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
I'm going to begin with a simple halacha, straight up halacha about Sfiras Omer. And I'm going to point out that it's a little bit odd. It doesn't seem to fit into the structure of this halacha, this mitzvah. Then I'm going to show you the sources, and then I'm going to reveal for you what seems to be almost an implicit contradiction in how this idea or halacha expresses itself. And in conclusion, I will show you, with God's help, that in this particular mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer, there is two unique ideas that are coming together, which one is found elsewhere and one is unique to Sfirat HaOmer. If that makes no sense, that's fine. It will, Meretz Hashem. So this will make sense when we're finished. So we're in a period of counting the Omer now. And this is a daily mitzvah. And I'm going to read the halacha to you straight from the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. Chapter 489 of the Laws of Pesach. In the fourth subsection, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Hasfira, the counting, which you know is something that has to be done in a verbal way. You have to actually say, tonight is so many and so many days and so many weeks. Tzarech levarech me'umad. You have to make the bracha when you're in a standing position. Can't be sitting. You have to be standing. Where does that come from? The Torah says, usfartam lechem. The Torah says you should count. The Torah doesn't say you should count when you're standing. The Torah doesn't say, stand up and count, or stand up and be counted. It just says you should count. So, shenemar, because it's written, bekama. And here, he's talking about a pasuk that speaks about the concept of Sfirat HaOmer, which is found in the book of Deuteronomy. It says in chapter 16 of Chumash Dvarim, Shiva Shavuot Tisparlach, you should count 7 weeks for yourself, Mehochel chermesh bekama, from the time that the sickle is raised on the tall grass. So the first tall grass in the land of Israel, the first time stalks appear, is in the beginning of the month of Nisan. And from the time that you raise the sickle, which is on the second day of Pesach, from that point and onward, tochel lisper shiva shavuos. From that point and onward, you should count 7 weeks. So it says, bakama. V'darshu chachamim, and our sages expounded on this, and they said, al tikra bekama, don't call it tall grass or stalks. Ella, how should you call it bakoima? Bakoima means upright, tall, like a full gestalt. Bakoima tocha lisper, when you're standing upright, you should begin to count. So there's this methodology called al tikra. Al tikra means literally don't read it one way, read into it, read it another way. This is the way people say in English, read into something, or like pun intended. So you can read a word in multiple ways, or a particular verbiage could be used because it has more than one message. It has like a subtext or a subtle message that's included. Don't try this at home. You can't make your own al-tikri. Oh, avela shmais b'nei yisrael, al-tikra shmais ela shumais. I don't know, but you can't just make up your own words, and you can't make up your own Torah. But if there's a tradition that certain words in the Torah had more than one meaning attached to them, or multiple meanings attached, our sages were able to understand this and derive it from the way they read the word, or the way they read into the word. So the word is read one way literally, and then it could be read differently with a change in vowelization. It's not a change in spelling, it's not a change in words, just a change in how you vowelize and pronounce the words. And in Hebrew specifically, the same word pronounced differently has a world of difference. In fact, it could be the same Hebrew letters, and they could be from one extreme to the other. One of the most famous examples is the fact that when it came to carving out the stones of the luchot, which replaced the first luchot that was shattered because of Avodah Zarah, because of the notion of idolatry, so these are the luchot that overcome the terrible sin of the golden calf, Hashem tells to Moshe Rabbeinu, psolacha. Psolacha means you should carve out, hew out the luchos. And the same words, pei, samach, lamed, pesel, is the same words the Torah, losas elecha pesel. Don't make for yourself an idol. So the very same word that the Torah uses to convey Moshe Rabbeinu's privilege of carving out a new set of luchot to replace the ones broken because they worshipped an idol. The very same words mean idol. So the Ruzhin, the Rebbe once said, the Rebbe Sol Ruzhin said, it depends where lecha, depends where you comes. Leisase lecha pesel. If you come first and God comes second, then you're an idolater. Psal lecha. If first Hashem comes, then you come, then everything's in good shape. Okay, fine. This is like a drush and a limud and a teaching and a musar. Very nice. My point to you is that the same Hebrew word can go from one extreme to the other in how we vowelize or pronounce it without changing any of the words, without adding anything, just simply a change in vowelization. So that's al tikri. So the Torah says, when should you count? Shiva shavuos tisparlach. You should count 7 weeks when mehochel chermesh become from the time when the sickle, that's the knife, that's the saw that's used. Think of the Arm and Hammer, right? The Soviet Union, that's a sickle. Most people don't know what a sickle is anymore. So that's the sickle. So when the sickle is raised above the grain, they would hold the grain like this and they would bring a knife around and cut it. So when the sickle or curved knife is raised above, the comma is raised above the stalks, that's when you count Sefirot HaOmer. Okay, we know exactly when it is. That's in the beginning of the month of Nisan. That's when things start to grow, and they grow very quickly. They shoot up, and by the time we're halfway through the month, we're ready to take a sickle and start to cut. So mehochel chermesh bekama, the meaning is when it's you have tall stalks. Ah, our sages say, no. It says bekama, but it could also be read bekoima. Koima means upright, tall and upright. It doesn't mean stalk. And they're not even not related. They are kind of related. The koma is called koma because it's koma, because stalks go upright. But nonetheless, it's a different word. And that means to say then, bekoima tochalisper, standing you should count. Don't be sitting. When you're standing, you should count. All right, so the Torah doesn't say this. I mean, it doesn't say it openly. The Torah doesn't come along and say, amoid usfor, stand up and count. The Torah says, count. Usfartem lachem, count for yourselves. But here we're having this altikri, this expounding, this exegesis in the word where it says bekoima tochel lisper. When you're standing, that's when it's appropriate to count. Now that sounds pretty much non-negotiable. If that's what it says, that's what it says. The Rebbe says, well, it's really not so. Mikolmak, and nonetheless, imanam yushav. If you did count when you're sitting, yatsa, you fulfilled the mitzvah. So you don't really have to do this. Why is that? Why is that? I mean, if it says it in the Torah, if we expound this from the Torah, you should have to do it, and that's part of Sefirot HaOmer. So the Alter Rebbe says, "Lefisha drasha zo eino ela asmachta ba'alma," because this exposition is not a full exposition. It's what we call an asmachta, which comes from the Hebrew word of smuchim, in English to buttress. So, you know, if you go back to the Middle Ages, certain tall buildings, in fact, buildings that were built for faith purposes, were oftentimes too tall to sustain themselves. So how did the wall stand? They had these buttresses. They had these smuchim that were built outside the wall to make sure the walls didn't collapse. So this is only an asmachta. We're leaning on the scripture. The scripture doesn't really say this. So sometimes al-tikri is absolute. It says it. You say it doesn't say it. Read it again. It does say it. Read into it. You'll see it does say it. And that's the mitzvah. And if that was the mitzvah, then we'd have to do the mitzvah that way. And if you're not standing, you didn't do the mitzvah. But here we say, well, it's the right thing to do. It's the appropriate thing. But if you didn't do it, that's okay too. So what does this mean? Firstly, how did we get to this? Why do we have to be standing? What does standing have to do with counting? They're two totally separate things. If you tell me that I have to count mindfully, if you tell me I have to know what day it is, if you tell me I have to count in the language I speak, or maybe specifically in Hebrew, and we have mitzvahs that go either way like that. Sometimes we have to know what you're doing, and sometimes the important thing is to use the Hebrew verbiage. Okay, I got that. But standing, position and posture seemingly should play no role in counting. That's irrelevant. I don't care how my accountant was standing or sitting when he arrived at the final numbers. I just want to know that his numbers make sense. So if his numbers make sense, I'm in shape. I'm in good shape. The person I hired to guard the shul, I expect him to be standing and ready. I don't expect him to be sitting back and having a coffee. Sometimes he is, but that's not what I expect of him. I mean, everybody's got a different job to do. There are times when posture has a lot to do with being able to successfully execute the mission. And there are times where posture is absolutely irrelevant. And it would seem that whether you sit or stand is not relevant to when you count. You know, it's interesting, when it comes to the mitzvah of reading the Shema, and it's a mitzvah to read the Shema twice daily, there's an opinion, a major opinion, Beit Shammai, who says that you have to sit when you're doing the evening Shema, and you have to stand when you're doing the morning Shema. You know why? Because it says, b'shachbecha, when you're lying or reclining or sitting, uvkumecha, when you're standing. And Beit Hillel says, yeah, it does say that, but it's not talking about posture, it's talking about the time, b'shah shebnei adam shoichvim, the time when people lie down, which is normally at night, or b'shah shebnei adam kamim, the time when people get up, which is usually in the morning, teenagers notwithstanding. So then there's this actual discussion in the Torah. And Torah actually speaks about posture. Torah speaks about reclining or standing. And Beit Shammai says, well, that's literal. I mean, it says it. And Beit Hillel says, no, not to be taken literally. It's euphemistic. It's just giving us an understanding of when the Shema is supposed to be recited, but not what posture I'm supposed to assume. So even when the Torah tells me about doing a particular mitzvah in a certain posture, standing or reclining, even then, Beit Shammai says, reclining, standing, irrelevant. Beis Hillel says. And the halacha is like Beis Hillel. And here, the Torah doesn't say anything about standing. The Torah says nothing about posture. And we have this emphasis from an al-tikri, from we're kind of expounding it and deriving it from a word that could be read multiple ways. All right. But don't take it too seriously. You know, yeah, I mean, you should do it that way. But if you didn't, big deal. What's going on here? This is the question. This is the issue. This is what I'm going to try to address tonight. I think it's a fair question. So, in order to address this question, the first thing that I'm going to do...
There's a phrase to stand in the context of the phrase that you quoted from Sefer Dvarim make sense, though? Does it make sense to say, I'll take stocks, but standing?
Does it make sense? It doesn't not make sense to say it. It is certainly not the simple read. It's really not the simple read. Yeah, the chemesh has no connection. It would say shiva shavuos tisperlach mahachel chemesh. Bakoima tochel isper. Yeah, it really doesn't fit. In fact, there was a great Lithuanian Rosh Hashiva and Rav whose name was, they called him the Aderes, Eliyahu David Rabinovich Taumim. And he has this manuscript that was recently printed on this idea. And he says, like, I don't understand this whole thing. He says, like, really, it doesn't fit with the meaning of the words. And he says, it's true that we have a Gemara that tells us that the stalks had to be kind of put together or tied already before Pesach so they could be ready to cut. He says, okay, fine. So maybe that's a mitzvah to cut the stalks when the stalks are standing. Instead of the stalks being kind of fallen over or lying down, the stalks should be upright. He says, but what does that have to do with the person counting? The cutter of the stalks is not the same person who's counting. The cutter of the stalks is one, two, three people. I don't know. Like, how many people could cut the stalks? How many stalks were there? The counting is something everybody had to do. How did one bleed into the other? He doesn't have an answer to this question. It's a recent manuscript called Ve'elu Yamdu. I have a whole bunch of mitzvahs that require standing, and this is his comment on that. So in order to understand this, I think we need to go back to the sources. I want to share with you the sources, the earliest sources we have. In sharing these sources, number one, I'm going to demonstrate the evolution of this halacha. You'll see where it comes from and how it evolves into us having it as we have it in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. And I'm also going to show you how this is not exactly a full rabbinic exposition or a full limud. What does it mean it's an asmachta? What does it mean? Some very interesting, precise verbiage. And then once I do that, then I'm going to show you some other sources. And the other sources are going to seem to fly in the face of everything we said, because it's going to seem to indicate that it's not unique to Sefirot HaOmer. And then I'm going to introduce other sources. I'll tell you there's two different ideas. Okay. So let's go back to early sources. Early sources. Here's an early source. Early source, we can go back to the earliest codification, medieval codification, in the time of the Rishonim, we have Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh. And this is one of the last comments on Masechet Psachim. And I'm going to read to you. He says, at the end of Masechet Psachim, we talk about the mitzvah of Sefirot HaOmer, which is done the day after the Seder. Right? And he says like this, V'chi mevarchim, I'm quoting, when you bless, mevarchim me'umad. He doesn't even talk about counting. He goes already a step further. He says, and when you make a blessing on this counting, you must be standing. The Tanu Rabbanon for our rabbis taught, Bekoma tochel lisper. It says, Bekoma, al tikri bekoma, ele bekoima. It doesn't say stalks, it says when you're standing. So you must make the blessing. He's not only talking about the counting, the Rosh is talking about the blessing that has to be recited. The Rambam, also, medieval halachist, in the book of Avodah, the book which governs services in the Beit HaMikdash, in the set of halachas which is called Tamidim Umusafin, the daily offerings and the special offerings. So in that book, in the seventh chapter, the Rambam says in Halacha 23, he says in the same halacha, Shachach v'lo mana balayla. You forgot to count tonight. If you didn't count the Omer at night, what should you do? You remember in the morning. Say, oh, I forgot to count the Omer last night. What do you do? No blessing, very good. When do you count? And you remember during the day. Mone bayom. Now you're right. You don't make a blessing. Why? Because the mitzvah is not fully fulfilled. Ideally, the mitzvah means counting of night and day, both segments, because a full day, a 24-hour period, is made up of a night segment and a day segment. So you have to have counted when you were already in the night, but before the night has passed you by. Otherwise, night passed you by, you didn't count. You didn't really count today properly. To count today properly, you have to have counted already when it was night, but before it was day. The Rambam in the same halacha, and this is very meaningful because the Rambam, we know, he wrote his halachas very precisely. And the things that were put together in the same halachas have to have some kind of bearing on one another. Ve'ein monin ela me'umad. Rambam doesn't talk about the blessing, but he says, you must do this when you're standing. Ve'imana miyushav. But if you did it when you were sitting, yatsa, you still fulfill the mitzvah. Rambam does not talk about the bracha. In two halachas, the last halacha of the chapter, he says, and you have to make a bracha every night. What do you say? Before you count. You counted but didn't bless. Yatza, you fulfilled the mitzvah. So Rambam doesn't talk about the bracha. Rambam talks about the counting. And he says the counting has to be done specifically at night. If you do it during the day, no good. Then he says the counting has to be done in a standing posture, standing position. If you didn't, okay, fine, you still fulfilled the mitzvah. So, as is pointed out in the Sefer Harei Kedem, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, from this halacha, it's very clear that the Rambam holds that if you counted when you were sitting, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah fully. Just like if you counted during the day but didn't count at night, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah fully. You fulfilled the mitzvah, but not in its appropriate way. In other words, the counting, the posture is actually a part of the mitzvah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik argued. He argued that the counting is a part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now, it is possible that you should fulfill the mitzvah piecemeal, which means some mitzvahs can either you did them or you didn't. If you ate half a kezayit of matzah on the night of Pesach, you didn't fulfill any mitzvah. But if you ate a kezayit, that's fine, you got the mitzvah. This mitzvah, if you counted, but you were sitting, you yotzah. Yotzah means you still fulfill the mitzvah, but not ideally. Because if you count during the day, so suppose somebody forgets at night but counts during the day, can he make a bracha the next night? The answer is yes. Why? Because at least a day didn't go by without being counted. As the Rebbe explains, in order to count continuously, even if every day is a mitzvah, he says, if you didn't count day 12, then how do you expect to count day 13? If you count day 11, and then you skip day 12 altogether, so you say, okay, now I'm on to 13. You can't go on to 13. You need to kind of have counted 12 in order to get to 13. Since you didn't count 12, you're stuck. So we count without a bracha, but we can't count anymore because the day wasn't counted. Each day leads into the next day. In order for me to count on this day, I have to have counted the days that brought me up till this day. And then when I get here, this is the next bridge to the next day. And each day leads into the next day. So if I counted in the morning, I didn't count at night, I did actually fulfill the mitzvah, but not fully. So the same thing would be if I counted, but when I was sitting, I did the mitzvah, but not fully. Meaning, I did it, but not as I should have done it. Which indicates, the Rambam here seems to say, that the standing posture is actually a part of the mitzvah itself. Now, this gets brought down later on in the modern halachic framework, where in chapter 489 of the Tur, so the Tur tells us, "V'tzarich lisper me'umad." You have to count when you're standing. He doesn't talk about the bracha, even though the Rosh did, his father the Rosh did. And he says, "Ulevarech tchila," you make a blessing first, and then v'sofer, then you count. Okay, that's all we get. So, see, we have how the halacha filters through. The Tur, in his halacha, is ruling like the Rambam. He's not talking about the blessing, he's talking about the actual counting. In the Shulchan Aruch of Rav Yosef Karo, he says, in the beginning of chapter 489, he says, "Mitzvah al kol echad lispor la'atzmo." It's a mitzvah for every individual to count. And then he says, "V'tzarech lispor me'umad." You have to be counting when you're standing. "U'levarech tchila." And you have to make a bracha in the beginning. So very interestingly, he doesn't even talk about the bracha. It's not like he doesn't talk about the bracha altogether. He says you have to be standing when you're counting. And then he says, "Ulevarech tchila." You make a bracha first. So the interesting thing is that the Rosh, if you'll notice, said you have to make a bracha when you're standing. But the Rambam and the Torah and Shulchan Aruch said that you have to count when you're standing. He didn't say you have to make a bracha when you're standing. Which is really interesting because in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, he says, "Hasfira tzarech levarech me'umad." The sfira has to be counted when you're standing. So the Alter Rebbe's language, his verbiage, seems to follow the Rosh. He says you have to be counting. He says, "Because you have a bakoma." Now in the Rambam, do you remember hearing the words bakoma? No words. Doesn't say anything about bakoma. He just says, "Ein monin ela me'umad." Doesn't speak about the origin. In the Rosh, it speaks about the origin. It speaks about the source. The Kesef Mishnah, which is another commentary written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, he wrote a commentary in the Torah called Bet Yosef, he wrote Shulchan Aruch, but before that, he wrote a commentary on the Rambam called Kesef Mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah says, "Kosev HaRabbeinu Yitzchak Ibn Gias." This is a great Sephardic sage who lived in the 11th century. So the Ri Gias wrote, "Shezeh Kabbalah Mepi Rabotenu." This is something we received from our previous generations. He doesn't say it's from a pasuk. He says, we don't really know where this is from. It's something that was received. When we talk about the word Kabbalah, many people think about mysticism. But actually, Kabbalah means the received tradition. And mystical Judaism, the mystical teachings of Torah, is called the received tradition because more so than any other part of Torah, it was never really documented until very, very late. Is the least documentation, so we call it Kabbalah. But Kabbalah means literally likabel, to receive. So this is a Kabbalah. Here we have this great medieval sage who writes halachas, and his halachas is Virsa Omer. The Rigia says, this is a Kabbalah mipira b'seinu, v'asmachu akra. And they buttressed it with a verse. They took it, they buttressed this idea, this oral idea with a pasuk, but the pasuk doesn't say it. And that's the pasuk, that's the verse, the bakama, kari bakoima. So, it's very interesting. So this is the fascinating thing now. When you look in the Gemara, this Gemara doesn't appear anywhere. The Rosh's words are, the Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan, that means Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan our rabbis learned. Tanan is a Mishnah, Tanya is a Braita, which are two parts of the same thing, two parts of the genre of Mishnah. It says Tanu Rabbanan. We don't have such a Medrash. We don't have such a Mishnah. So the Hagos Hagriv, which is a commentary written on the Rosh, says something actually mind-blowing. He says, Ri Gias, who we just quoted now from the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ibn Gias, he says it's a Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah. They buttressed it with a Pasuk. And he says, I would like to humbly suggest that there is a printing mistake in the Rosh. What's the printing mistake? He says, whoever actually typeset this, in the old days typeset was like alphabet soup, you know, you had buckets of aleph and buckets of bases and buckets of gimels, and you had to string them into a machbesh, you know, hadfus, and you had an actual, I forgot what it's called, these large presses, right? You have to literally made an impression on the paper. So somebody had to actually choose every one of these little letters and slide them in. So this is what's called in Yiddish the Bachar HaZetzer. Was usually a yeshiva student, but not always the biggest scholar. And sometimes they would make mistakes. So he says there's a mistake here because it says Dalet Tuf Resh, which is an acronym for Ditanu Rabbanan. The Hagos HaGrif suggests that it didn't say that. It never said, in the manuscript of Rabbeinu Asher, it didn't say Ditanu Rabbanan. It said Dalet Samach Resh, not Dalet Tuf Resh. A Samach and a Tuf can look very similar sometimes. Because in Rashi writing Tuf, the Tuf comes back like this. It could be confused. He said the Rosh must have written the Samchua Rabbanon, not the Tanu Rabbanon. The Samchua means they buttressed it. The Tanu Rabbanon means it was learnt. And here's the thing. If it was learnt, if it was taught in the Talmud, then that's the mitzvah. And if you don't do it that way, you didn't do the mitzvah. How could the Rosh quote, you have to make a bracha, the Tanu Rabbanon, when Rambam doesn't have the halacha? The Tur doesn't have the halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have that halacha. And he says, you have to make a bracha, as we learned, as the Talmud couldn't have taught that, he says. The rabbis had a tradition. And the tradition was that posture and counting somehow come together. You have to be standing when you do this counting. They had this tradition. And they found it alluded to in a verse. This is like the Baal HaTurim. He's so fascinating. He creates the original Bible codes. Everything Rashi will say or the Medrash will say, he'll add up the gematria of the words and he'll show you how it's in the words. In other words, the Torah is layers and layers and layers of meaning. And if there's such a concept, it will be found somewhere in the scripture. Our sages knew. Where are they going to find it? So they looked, and here's what they could find. That it says, Mehachal Chermish Bekoma, and Bekoma could be read Bekoima. So Bekoma read Bekoima. Ah, there you are. That's the allusion to the standing posture. But it's not an actual teaching. The Nemuki Agriva says it's not an actual teaching. It can't be. It makes no sense. We have no such tradition. Nobody has such a record of anything. And he says, I'm not the only one who says this. Other people who maintain this as well. The Nemuki Agriva is actually widely quoted, which makes a lot of sense now. So it isn't an actual teaching. It isn't an actual oral tradition that this is what the pasuk means, because if that's what the verse meant, you'd have to do it. But there's an oral tradition. There's this idea that that's the appropriate way to count. And our sages buttressed it with a verse. They said, because every oral idea in Torah will be alluded to somewhere in the scripture. So if the scripture doesn't say it openly, look and you'll find it says somewhere, stand tall when you count up. And we found it. Bakoma, read Bakoma. And interestingly, the Alter Rebbe's verbiage is very, very precise. We call it the Lashon HaZahav, is what it's called. The golden syntax. The Alter Rebbe says, V'dorshu Chachamim. It doesn't say V'tanu Chachamim. It doesn't say, it says V'dorshu. Drasha means to expound. To almost like in modern Hebrew, a detective can be a doresh. You're looking for clues. You're investigating. So our sages investigated. They expounded, and they taught this idea of al tikra using methodology of al tikra. They found it alluded to in the verse, but it's not an actual concept, which is min haTorah or an actual part of the mitzvah, which not fulfilled would mean the mitzvah was left on the table. The tradition certainly does emanate from Sinai, and I'll soon demonstrate and show you how that is and some of the reason behind it.
So why would there even be a debate about it?
There are debates about everything, Nathan.
They would have gotten their cue from Moshe.
Look, the beautiful thing about Torah is that when you learn Torah and you see the integrity of our sages and how nothing, we just got kind of, it's probably like that. Nothing is probably like anything. If we're not absolutely certain, we're going to tell you we're not absolutely certain. If we have a number of different methodologies that we received, or a number of traditions, or a number of ways of learning this, you're going to find everything. We're very open about this. There's no veiled process. The process is very, very clear. The only thing we say you can't do is draw your own conclusions unless you're a professional, which is generally a good idea. But the process, here's the process. And that's what we're doing tonight. I'm showing you that there are multiple ways this is written, and The Rosh emphasizes the blessing, whereas the other Rishonim seem to emphasize the actual counting. But there's this confluence of different things. Ah, very good, Ezra. Very good. Okay. So Ezra now is talking about something very important. So now I want to share with you a Medrash Lekach Tov. The Medrash Lekach Tov is something that takes us back very, very early on, like the 8th century, 9th century, when it's documented, very early Midrashim. And the Medrash in Leviticus, on the words that speak about Sfirat Tov, where it says, Usfartem Lochem, the Lekach Tov says, Ba'amida. When it says you count, you should be standing. How do we know that? Oh, because Deuteronomy, it says that. So, very good, very good, sorry, yeah, Sukkot it does. L'kachtam l'chem ba'amida. How do we know that? Mahachal chermesh bekama. In other words, kiloimar, not al-tikri. The Medrash Seichel Tov doesn't use the, Lekach Tov doesn't use the al-tikri. It says kiloimar. In other words, koima, standing. Says the Medrash Lekach Tov, umimenu anu lomdim l'meidin akol ha-mitzvahs. From this we learn about all mitzvahs shenemar bahem lochem. Every mitzvah it says lochem. For example, mila, brit mila. When we make a bracha and perform brit mila, the tzaddik is sitting, but the mo'el is standing. Tzitzit says, you should, b'hoi lachem l'tzitzit, when you make a bracha on the tzitzit tal, it's supposed to be standing. Himo lachem kol zachar, b'hoi lachem l'tzitzis. Shekula mitzvasam b'koyma zekufa. All these mitzvahs require uprightness. Uprightness. Now here is another version of the Medrash Lekach Tov, which shows up later on with regard to the lulav. Ulekachtem lochem. He says, lekachtem lochem, says the Medrash Lekach Tov, mitzvahs mila levarech me'umad. Mitzvah brit mila, you have to make a bracha when you're standing. How do we know that? The alfinan birchat ha'omer min bakama. Because we learn it from the blessing of the omer. And he says, hachel chermesh bakama. And by the Omer, it says, in Leviticus, Usfartem Lochem, Lamdonu, Kol HaMitzvah Shenemar Behem Lochem, whenever it says Lochem, it's going to be Bekoma, that has to be standing, Dumya, the Birchas HaOmer, similar to the blessing of the Omer.
We learned the whole standing business from the Omer?
So the whole standing business, turns out, it's from the Omer. This business of standing tall, when you do a mitzvah, it's an Omer business. And we don't even understand why the Omer you have to be standing for altogether. Right? But now all of a sudden we're doing this all over the place because by the Omer it says you should stand, but we don't even know why we're standing because we found some verse that could be construed to read koma instead of koma. What's going on over here? Right? Lechem belulav. In the Avudah Ben David Ben Avram, in his halachas, he writes like this. He says there are six mitzvahs that we're supposed to be standing for when we recite the bracha. And he says, siman lehem. And he gives you a siman to remember the six mitzvahs. Alatz Shalem, Ayin Lamed Tzadik, Shalem Shin Lamed Mem. And he says, Ayin stands for Omer. Lamed stands for Levana. Levana. Then we have Tzadik stands for Tzitzit. That's Alatz. Omer, Levana, Tzitzit. Then we have Shalem. Shin stands for Shofar. Lulav stands for, Lamed stands for Lulav, and finally Mem stands for Mila. And he says, these are the things that it says Lochem. By the Omer, it says Usfartem Lochem, count for you. Bilavana, it says Hachodesh Hazeh Lochem. Bitzitzit, it says Vahaya Lochem Letzitzit. And it says, by Shofar Yom Trua Yihyeh Lochem. The Anula Meidim Chamishtan, we learn all these five, Bigzera Chaveb, by juxtaposition from the mitzvah of the Omer. And how do we know it by the Omer? Because it says Bakoma. What's going on over here? So this is not even a Omer thing. This is actually a general thing. It's a Lachem thing. How did Lachem end up being standing? Lachem means for you. Now for you means standing. What is going on over here? We didn't even understand why we're doing this. We got the Omer, and now all of a sudden, we're dispatched all over the place. So all these mitzvahs, it says, Lachem, we have to be standing. something's got to like come together. So I found something very interesting. In the writings of early Rishonim, I found a number of reasons that are given for the standing of the Omer. And the first source for standing of the Omer is, you wouldn't believe it, in the Zohar. In the Zohar. And actually, the Kesef Mishnah, in his commentary in the Rambam, says this. He says, Ubezohar Parshas Tzava Katav Sod Hadavar. Over there it says the secret of this thing, that it has to be Tzorech Limnot Me'umad. You have to be, not making a bracha, but you have to be counting standing. Tzorech Limnot. Kesef Mishnah says you have to count standing. So, took a little while to go through all the pages of the Zohar and Parshas Tetzava, and I found it. And the Zohar says like this. The Zohar says, it talks about Pesach. It talks about the Jewish people being sanctified and being taken out of the land of Mitzrayim.
Who wrote the Zohar?
Who wrote the Zohar? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the presumed author of the Zohar. So he says, and then comes the idea of counting. Oh, he says, this counting, he says, this is a sustained counting. It sustains us, this counting. This is Yom Ilah, and he says, these are lofty days, special days. And he says, whenever we come to these days, and whether you count them, he says, when you're praying, when you're praising Hashem, it's drich l'kai ma'aragli. You must stand on your feet. Yerechen v'gufa kechada. Your body has to be upright. You can't have your torso upright and then your thighs sitting forward and then your legs down, right? Like the standing? No, you have to be upright, he says. Everything upright. He says legs, thighs, torso, everything upright. Why? He says, this is the kaima b'chelik. This shows a person who is in full strength. Like if you want to be in a position of either defense or attack, when you're in full strength, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be sitting. When people are ready, what's the expression we use? Standing ready. Standing by. Standing by means you just let me know, I'm there. Standing by. Standing by does not mean a couch potato. That's not called standing ready. Standing in a state of readiness. Being in a state of readiness. So this shows the idea of strength. And the Zohar therefore says that because we have this concept of strength, so the strength is represented, the counting up of the Omer has to be something done with strength. This is about overpowering our weaknesses. This is about developing our spiritual potential. And therefore we have to assume a posture of strength in order to count the Omer. Very interestingly, one of the commentaries on the Zohar, called Nitzutzei Orot, he says, by the way, if you look in the Rosh, it says the Tanur Rabbanan. He says, but by the way, if you look at the Griv will tell you that it really isn't the Tanur Rabbanan, because that doesn't make any sense. It's not really a Mishnah. He says it's Samchu HaRabbanan. So in other words, the Zohar says it's a mystical concept. It's a mystical concept. Is it part of the mitzvah of Sfira to Omer? That's the theme of Sfira to Omer. That's the idea of Sfira to Omer. But the actual mitzvah is to count. And therefore, the Torah didn't tell you you have to be standing when you counted, but if you're counting up, you should be standing ready. So it's unique to Sfira to Omer. That's why we should be standing. This is nothing short of a Zohar. The Kesef Mishnah says, not making the blessing, but he says, Lama Tzarech Limnot, when you have to count when you're standing. Then I found, very interestingly, then I found the words of some of the Rishonim. And in the Imre Noham, which is a collection of Tosafist era teachings, he brings no less than three new reasons why we should be standing. He says, Tam, Lama Ha'omer Monin, not make a blood bracha, Lama Ha'omer Monin, why you have to count the Omer standing. And he says the following. Number one, Mipnei, because Katsiras Ha'omer, when you count the Omer, how is the Omer counted? Mu'umad, that is a Mishnah. That does say. So he says, Shederach HaKotzrim, the way of cutting, of harvesting is Mu'umad. Ah, he says, if you harvest Mu'umad, then you should be standing when you count. Uke mitzvah sa'ktzira, kach mitzvah sa'sfira. After all, it's called Sfirat HaOmer. So the way we counted, the way we cut, it should be the way we count. And according to this teaching of the Imre Noam, the verse actually makes sense now. right? Because the verse says that when should you begin the counting? Mehachal chermash pekama. When you begin the
cutting.
Ah. So just like you cut stalks upright, you cut standing, that's how you should count. In other words, it's the same idea. The idea of cutting upright stalks and the idea of counting are linked together. So it says, since it's not just counting, it's counting the Omer, and since the Omer's counting is initiated or catalyzed by the cutting, so it should be like the cutting. Okay, that's one reason, says the Imri Noam. Another reason, he says, Tam Acher, because, he says, Ma Sfirat HaOmer Ba'amida, V'pnei Ma, why should Sfirat HaOmer be recited standing? And listen to what he says. Shehi Eidut, because Sfirat HaOmer is our way of giving testimony that we believe we were taken out of Mitzrayim, and that 7 weeks later, we received the Torah. So we're giving testimony. And the halacha is, when you give testimony, you have to be standing. There's a similar halacha when we say Vayichulu, Vayichulu HaShamayim, when you say Vayichulu, after on Shabbat, on Friday night, in Shul, you have to be standing. Why? Because that's Eidut. We bear testimony that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Where do we know that from? From the open psukim that speak about giving testimony. The court system is a Torah idea. Then he gives you a third reason. Tam acher, mipnei ma sfira ta'omer ba'amida. Why is sfira ta'omer standing? I tell you why, he says. Because if you tell a person that he has to count sfira ta'omer standing, when it gets dark at night, he's still going to be standing. The moment people sit down, that's how they forget Sfira Tomer, he says. They start slumping around, they go by couch potato, what's on tonight? Forget about it. The moment you sit, you're falling asleep. He says, when you're still standing. He says, and this is how we make sure, and you know the mitzvah that people always say, oh yeah, I forgot. What's the mitzvah that people forget more than any other mitzvah? It's a biblical mitzvah, Sfira Tomer. There's like apps there to remind you when people have like signs to remind you. People say and they announce it constantly. Why? Because it's not a mitzvah we do every single day of the year. People don't forget to read the Shema usually. People forget the Omer all the time. Why? Because it's only 49 days of the year. So it's only a certain time of the year you're not really used to it. And the moment you get used to it, you're not doing it again. It's very practical. So here's the thing. We just got now no less than four reasons. A Zoharic reason, and three reasons from writings of the Rishonim as to why we should be standing when we count the Omer. What does that have to do with Mila? What does that have to do with Tzitzit? What does that have to do with Levana? What does that have to do?
I was going to ask you, is there anyone who links those six to what it says in the Zohar?
No?
Because Tzitzit is for sure is left, right? Because that's a whole lot of consonants.
I don't know.
You should overcome and not do what your eyes and what your heart
wants. So the Tzitzit is supposed to be reminding you, but it doesn't say you should
strengthen yourself, right?
Doesn't say that.
The mitzvah of tzitzit in theory
is when you're wearing the tzitzit. So you don't have to be standing all the time when you're wearing the tzitzit. The idea of atifa, wrapping yourself in a talit, is only a rabbinic idea. It's not even a biblical idea. So tzitzit is a mitzvah kiyumis. It's something that you fulfill automatically. As long as you're wearing the tzitzit, you're always fulfilling that mitzvah.
But it's something that has to do with that testimony.
Maybe. But it doesn't like say that. So the issue or the problem here is that all of the reasons we've learned are specific to Sfira to Omer. And then somehow it seems to attach itself to all these other mitzvot. So I want to take you back to the Lekach Tov, which is the original source of all these different mitzvot. And the Lekach Tov says like this. It says that there are these different mitzvahs Mila, Levarach Mu'umad, the Alfinim and the Omer, because it says Bakoma, Svartim Lachem, Lamad Nimdon al Mitzvah, it says Bakoma, again connecting it to the Omer, Mitzvah of Mila, Lachem, Tzitzis, Lulav. And this is all brought back because by the Sphere to Omer it says Svartim Lachem, and then in Chumash Devarim it says Mehachal Chemish Bakoma, 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 right? The posture. So therefore we learn on all these mitzvahs that you have to do them the same. Shekulan mitzvahs bekoma zukufa, that they're all mitzvahs in upright posture. V'zeh medrash, v'zeh halacha. This is medrash, and this is halacha. Medrash and halacha are two different things. Medrash is like narratives and stories and allegory, expounding ideas. Halacha is halacha. What is the meaning of v'zeh medrash, v'zeh halacha? Listen to this. This is from a collection of Midrashic teaching that was only published in the last century. We don't even know the name of who this was. We know he was a great sage of Yemen. And the name that was given to these manuscripts and they were printed as Yalkut Midrashei Teman. I think that's what he called it. This is the collection of the Torah teachings of Yemen, the Temani Torah teachings. So there in Chumash Devarim, he says, don't call it Kama, call it Koima. I mean, the fascinating thing is we have these sages who live in different parts of the world who never spoke to each other, and they all have verbatim the same teachings. But that says something. And he says, so we see when it comes, Ein Mevarchin, he says like the Rush. I guarantee you the Rush never met the Temani sage. The Rush was a German Jew who ended up in Spain. Right? He says, Mevarchin, blessing al Sfira Ta'omer, has to be Mu'umad. And he says, this is from Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ibn Gias, from the laws of Sfira Ta'omer. And he says that all the blessings have to be done when you're standing. How do we know that all blessings have to be done when you're standing? He says, what do you mean? It's an open verse in the book of Kings. In the book of Kings, the first book in the 8th chapter, we have Shlomo HaMelech. First Beis HaMikdash is completed. And what does he do? Shlomo HaMelech gathers all the people together. And he says, Vayasev HaMelech Hispanav, the king turned his face. Vayavarech et kol kahal Yisrael. He blessed the entire congregation of Israel. V'chol kahal Yisrael omed. And all the people are standing. So the Mitzvot David right away says, you know why they're standing? Because you're not allowed to sit in the Beit HaMikdash. You're not allowed to sit there. But according to the Algum Midrash HaTeman, from this you can see that a blessing requires standing. Now this takes a leap, because here the people are getting the blessing. Here people are making the blessing. He says, that's where we know this from. We know that whenever you make a blessing, you should be standing. And he says, this is also brought in the Medrash Lekach Tov, that you have to stand for all these mitzvahs. And he says that this is the reason, this is like an additional reason that he connects it to Sfirat HaOmer. Really, you have to stand for all these blessings. That's the right thing to do. You should stand. Why should you stand? Respect for a blessing. Respect for Hashem. You make your blessing, you should be standing. And he says, not everybody agrees with this. He says, in fact, I'm not even sure I agree with this. I think he says the reason you should stand for a Brit Milah is it's just a more effective way to do it. And he says, it's not really a drasha, it's only a smach, it's buttressing. He doesn't take it too seriously, this idea of expanding it to everything else. In the Medrash HaBor, which is another version of the Medrash, it says that the reason we should stand for Sfirat HaOmer, and here's a fifth reason, is because Sfirat HaOmer counts up to Matan Torah. Matan Torah is the time when we are going to, once again, remember our rendezvous with Hashem and receive the Torah all over again. And when we receive the Torah, what posture were we in? Standing. It says, Vatikruvun Vatamdun Tachatahar. We gathered close and we stood at the foot of the mountain. So he says, since we're counting up to Matan Torah, it makes sense we should be counting by standing. So we seem to have these two disparate teachings. One teaching about Sfirat HaOmer specifically, and why we should be standing for Sfirat HaOmer, and another teaching about how and why we should be standing, really, for any mitzvah. So here's the pshat, I think. The Torah Shleima, he goes back to this business of the Lekach Tov, and he says, why does the Lekach Tov finish off Zem Medrash v'zeh Halacha? This is a teaching, this is a law. So he suggests, Teresh Shlomo suggests the following. There's two things going on over here. There's the teaching with regard to Sfirat HaOmer. He says that's a medrash. That's a teaching. That's an idea. Then there's a rule. There's a law. And the law is that when you make blessings, you should be standing. And how do we know that? By Sfirat HaOmer, you have to be standing. And it says, you have to stand. You have to stand there. It says, Lachem. By a whole slew of mitzvahs, you have to stand. In fact, for most mitzvahs, you have to be standing. There's a very interesting discussion about putting on the hand tefillin, where the Sephardic Jews have a tradition where they sit when they put on the hand tefillin and they stand when they put on the head tefillin. Ashkenazic Jews stand for both. The Alter Rebbe says that according to Kabbalah, you're supposed to sit for the hand tefillin. according to halacha, he's supposed to stand. Some people make a bracha standing, then they sit down. Most Jews who follow the Kabbalistic teaching, they'll sit for the hand tefillin and they'll stand for the head tefillin. And this is one of those things where the Alter Rebbe actually says in the Siddur, you have to do this only if you do all things according to Kabbalah. Otherwise, you follow the halacha. You can't pick and choose. Here's the point. There's two concepts being conveyed to us through Sfira HaOmer. Hashem conveyed through a concept of Sfira HaOmer, he said to us, Bakoima tocha lisper. You're going to count Sfira HaOmer. You're counting up to Matan Torah. You should be standing in honor of a mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, you should be standing. The only mitzvahs we might sit by is mitzvahs that are fulfilled when we sit. Which is a mitzvah we fulfill when we're sitting? Leisha Basukah, very good. And therefore, how do we make that bracha? There's like a whole discussion about that, actually. Because Leishav doesn't really mean to sit. So some people will make the bracha when they're still standing. But what's a bracha that everybody makes when they're sitting? This should be familiar to you. Berachat HaMazon, we say, because you should be able to focus. Matzah. But the matzah is supposed to be eaten behesebo when you are reclining. You can't recline when you're standing. So as long as it's a mitzvah that's done in a standing posture, then the blessing should be recited standing. The mitzvah should be done standing. Really, davening should be done standing. So the real essence of davening is the amida, and that's why, guess what it's called? The Shemoneh Esrei is called the amida, which means the standing. That because you're standing before Hashem. When you do a mitzvah, you stand. When you show honor or respect to somebody, what do? When your parents walk into the room, you rise for them. You stand up for them. So you're doing a mitzvah for Hashem. You stand up in honor. And that idea is alluded to through Sfira HaOmer. But Sfira HaOmer contains two concepts. And that's the precise words of the Lekach Tovis. V'zeh medrash v'zeh halacha. The halacha is conveyed to us through Sfira HaOmer that the right thing is Bakoima tocha lisper. You're counting? Get up. Stand on your feet. Be a mensch. Show respect. That's a halacha. But Sfira HaOmer has more than a halacha. Sfira HaOmer also has v'zeh medrash. Sfira HaOmer has a specific reason why you should be standing. Standing ready with strength, like the Zohar says. Or because the cutting and the counting are inextricably linked together, you're counting the Omer, and since the cutting is done that way, Imri Noam says, you should be standing as well. The concept of Sfira HaOmer, that you're bearing witness before Hashem, that we receive the Torah, that we go through this process every single year. So, in other words, there's actually two ideas that are being conveyed here. And this is what I want to suggest. The bracha, which is the teaching of the Rush, he says, Levarech, that's a general concept. It's derived from Sfira HaOmer, but it applies to all blessings, or most blessings of mitzvahs. And the performance of a bracha and its blessing prior should be done standing. Like I said, there's even some Sephardic Jews who will make the bracha on the hand tefillin standing and then sit down to put it on. Because a bracha should be done standing. And that's an asmachta, like the Griv says. It's not a tanur rabbanan, it's an asmachta, samchur rabbanan. And they extrapolated it, they expounded it from there. Then there's another notion. And that's the notion, the way the Rambam puts it, and the way the Shulchan Aruch puts it. He says, Ein monin ella me'umad. He doesn't say Ein mevarchen. Ein monin ella. Ein monin ella is like a double knot. Ein monin ella. Ein monin ella means that the real way to count, it's part of the mitzvah of counting. It's not just honor for a mitzvah. It's not just a blessing. The concept of counting requires standing ready. But, imanu miyoshev yotze. If you counted when you're sitting, you still fulfill the mitzvah, because ultimately the mitzvah is to count. It's just, this is the kind of counting where you should be mustering. You should be at attention. Where you should be pulling yourself together. So this is what's playing itself out here. And that's why in the Rambam, it doesn't talk about the blessing. Neither does it in the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe includes both. The Alter Rebbe includes the teaching of the Rosh, which is the notion of making a bracha, and that's halacha, like the Medrash Lekach Tov says, but it's also a drush, a gada. So there's a medrash, there's a halacha. There's two ideas here. And this is, I guess, kind of ties it all together. Why should you be standing with Sfira HaOmer? We just learned a bunch of really good ideas why. Sfira HaOmer represents the notion of standing tall and standing ready. That's what a yid is. A yid stands tall. A yid stands ready. Very apropos to what's going on in the world today. How should a Jew be? Not cowering, not bowing his head, standing tall. You're counting up to the Torah, stand tall. That's zeh medrash. Zeh halacha. The halacha that through this medrash, the Torah also conveyed a general halacha. When you make a bracha, when you do mitzvahs, standing is the right way. Standing is the right way. But when it comes to Sefirot HaOmer, it's not just the right way to do any mitzvah is standing. It's that the mitzvah of Sefirot HaOmer itself incorporates the notion of standing. Do you understand the subtle difference here? Is it a part of the actual counting, or is it the general notion that when you do a mitzvah, you should be standing? With regard to other mitzvahs, it's not part of the actual mitzvah. It's not part of the mitzvah of Mila. It's not part of the mitzvah of Sukkah. It's not part of the mitzvah of Levana. It's not part of the actual mitzvah. It's something you should do for a mitzvah. When it comes to Sefirot HaOmer, it's actually a part of the mitzvah. And when we stand tall and count up in order to fulfill our Yiddishkeit potential, we make our effort. We can count 49 days, which means we do our best. And you stand tall and put your best foot forward. Hashem promises us, you count 49 days, I'll give you the 50th. You'll get that which you were looking for, because when we do our best, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that He will finish the job for us. And this is the concept of Sefirot HaOmer, counting 49 days, but getting to the 50th. And it also represents, in general, the notion of going out of our Mitzrayim, our limitations, our Exodus, the 49 gates, and the 50th gate, that can't be achieved through us. We just have to do our best. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seeing you do your best, standing ready, hands you the rest. This is really the story of life in Yiddishkeit. This is the story of overcoming our challenges. And this will hopefully be the story that we will experience very speedily and in our days with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira, will be Amenu, Amen.